Hello, welcome back to the Masonic Roundtable, a weekly program where Masons from around the world get together to talk about Masonic news and opinions in a friendly and social manner. As a reminder, the thoughts and opinions expressed here are solely the opinions of the participants and do not represent any Grand Lodge statements or positions. Make sure you keep your conversations open for the public and on the level. To interact with us, we'd love to chat with you guys every week, so we love seeing you on Facebook. So we do stream on Facebook every week, so hello and good evening Facebook land, as well as YouTube. And if you really want to help us out, send a little super chat and we'll bring up your comment on the show, so that'll be fun. Let's see, you know me, my name is John Ruark. I'm a past master of the Patriot Lodge number 1957 in Fairfax, Virginia. And let's see, we have the usual cast of characters. Let's start with Juan Sepulveda. Juan, good evening, how are you tonight?
I'm doing very well, John. Good evening, brothers. Juan Sepulveda here from sunny Kissimmee, Florida, and the brother behind the gentlemansbrotherhood.com. Good to see you.
Excellent, excellent. Next up, Jason Richards. Hello, Jason. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you, John?
Fantastic.
Good. I'm Jason Richards, past master of Acacia Lodge number 16 in Clifton, Virginia, member of the Colonial Lodge number 1821 in Washington, D.C.
Excellent. And last but not least, for now, is Robert Johnson. Hello and good evening.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's great to be with you. Robert Johnson, past master of Waukegan Lodge 78, current sitting secretary at Space Novum 1183, member at a few other Masonic lodges, but the host of the Whence Came You Masonic podcasts. Good to be with you. Back to you, John.
Thanks. You kind of look like the old, like, oh, hey, didn't see you there. You know, the surprised, totally planned.
Next week, don't let me forget, next week, I'm going to totally Vsauce. I'm gonna be like, oh, hey, didn't see you there.
Yes, do it.
Yes, do exactly that. Before we get into tonight's topic, I want to give a special shout out to the patrons who've been supporting the show for over a year now. You guys have helped make this cool lighting effects and all around helped contribute to the future of the show. We really do appreciate it. So thank you for all the Knights, Squires, and Pages who've been supporting the show. If you want to help out and keep Masonic education going on for many years to come, head over to patreon.com/themasonicroundtable, and we'd love to see you over there. Okay, so tonight's topic is one that this is the anecdotal one. This is where we get to share our thoughts and opinions in a friendly and social manner, because we really want to take a divergent from history or ritual and really just start to talk about what does the future look like of Masonry. And so I'm going to hand it over to Juan to lay out, you know, I try to put a unique title on this week's episode of how do we get there from here. And so we're going to talk about what that transformation looks like. Juan, why don't you lay the groundwork for us?
Thank you, John. We wanted to have a conversation where we look at, okay, we talk about Masonry as having all these great benefits to us as men. You have the fellowship, you have the education, you have the introspection, the esoterics, you have all these different components that attract a lot of different people into the craft. Now, we describe this utopian version of Masonry when we say, let's make education important again. Let's bring it back into the fold, into the focus. Let's spend more time in meaningful fellowship. And we have all these desires of making Freemasonry this perfect thing. Now, will we ever get there? I don't know. Were we ever there? I know even less. I doubt it. The point here is that we have an ideal version of what Masonry can be, the potential that it has of changing lives, of taking good men, like we say, and making them better, putting tools in their hands that are going to perfect them to a degree that is going to make them better for society. The potential is there. But right now, we find ourselves in a very divided version of Masonry, where you have different bands of Masons all over the world. You have different sets of opinions, and you have some things that I describe with a metaphor of the sails and the anchors. What is going to drive us to that level that we want to get to is that enthusiasm.
That is that like the animals. Royal Ark Mariner degree? What is that? What degree is that?
Yeah, one of those.
Anchors and sails. Pull the metaphor through. Let me hear what you mean by that.
Yeah, so as we are enthusiastic in masonry and we get our sails filled with this wind, this momentum that is going to propel us forward. In the meantime, you have some naysayers and you have people in the sidelines that are holding the progress back. They're serving as anchors. And we want to make sure that we explore this. How do we go from here, from where we are in the current state of affairs, and how do we bring masonry beyond to a point where we don't feel we're being stifled in our progress? So that's what we're going to discuss today.
Yeah, I'm going to come back to that sails and anchors a little bit later on, because I think it's a valuable tool that people can think of as they really plan out their own Masonic journey and their lodge's journey. But that being said, another thing I wanted to kind of add into, which I alluded to in the description of the show, is in group facilitation, there is a couple of tools, the least of which I've even seen in my my fourth graders' advanced placement class, where they use the concepts of a growth mindset or a fixed mindset, which really translates right to the lodge experience. Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit. In the fixed mindset, and neither one is really bad, but it depends on what you're trying to accomplish. The fixed mindset is really satisfied with the way things are. And so it's not a matter of anti-progressivism. It is a matter of, either this is as good as it's going to get, or you may hear someone say, I just can't learn that new skill. It's just not in it for me. I'm not able to change that. You'll hear lots of those types of phrases. On the converse, you have this thing called the growth mindset, which basically, is the mindset of where you say, I can learn something new. There really is no limit to what I can accomplish. And while, there's obviously a physical limit, you really want to set the mindset such that anything is achievable, anything is able to change, anything is able to progress into whatever goal you're trying to set for. And so if you're goal-oriented, then being fixed, a fixed mindset, means you're never going to get there, right? Those are those anchors that Juan was alluding to. But if you are goal-oriented and you do have a growth mindset, you look for the wind to push your sails forward. And so translating that back to Freemasonry, well, now we have to think about... again, I hate to say it, we're looking close to 2040 as the membership numbers decline. So how can we do the best with what we have and make sure that what we're doing as far as, pushing things forward in the sales in the direction that we want to go to, while also trying to cut off those anchors that are dragging us down? Okay. Jason, I heard you chime in.
Well, so this gets back to the point where, when I think of sails and anchors, I immediately go back to the brethren themselves and their outlook on masonry and the fraternity. So, when you look at engagement to disengagement numbers, right, this is something we talked about a couple weeks ago, this average of, a good engagement to disengagement ratio is 4-1, which means for every anchor you have, you need to have 4 strong sails in order to just break even. And so to me, when it comes to, fighting mediocrity, I think a lot of that comes down to encouraging excellence and encouraging new brothers, especially, to explore, to research, to embrace the parts of the fraternity that have special meaning to them. And it's, in a lot of ways, we get new brothers who are very excited, and then we take a fire hose to that excitement, or a fire extinguisher to that excitement, and say, no, 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 you're going about this all wrong. I'm going to slap you around. I'm a past master, you know. And they get that negative reinforcement, and then they stop speaking up. They stop talking about their new ideas. They start to, hide a little bit what they're researching. And ultimately, through that process, they disengage, like I'm unable to do for my viewfinder inactive.
You need a growth spread. Mindset in order to fix that.
I tend to do so.
The first thought that comes to mind is the old saying that is always cliche now of, that's the way it's always been done. Is that an example of
and why have we not changed it? Yeah. That is my answer. You need to give me compelling reason why we're still doing it.
That's right. If it works, keep doing it. If it doesn't work, change. So yeah, and that's it. So is the way it's always been done, is that a growth mindset question or a fixed mindset question or statement?
Fixed mindset statement.
You got it.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out real quick about that you do need people that keep you grounded. This doesn't mean, okay, now take the younglings and let them do whatever they want to do with the fraternity. That's not the point. It's the matter of allowing people to flourish where they are with what they have. One thing that I see all the time is that people that have expertise in different areas are not allowed to exercise those expertise within Lodge in the context of Freemasonry, because either, like you said, that fixed mindset that that's not how we do things, or that's not how it's been done in the past. And I think that we're losing not just opportunities of bringing the fraternity higher and making it more active and more meaningful for the people that are involved in it, but also it's stifling the participation of people who have great potential for the Lodge.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said there. In particular with number one, when Jason said, if that's, or Jason and John, you guys are both going back and forth about, if it doesn't work, fix it. Well, the idea though is like, there's this mentality that if it doesn't work, it'll never work. In Masonry, we do this thing where it's this constant tug of war where, let's just say the year is 1995 and, the Lodge is like, oh, the internet, we should have a website. And maybe the Lodge checks it out and it's just too much work. It's too extensive. It's too difficult. They can't figure out Angel Fire or tripod free sites or whatever it was. But so they got that answer. Okay. And now, okay, it's 30 years later. It's 2021. And there is an amazing guy in Lodge or an amazing sister, say, like, in some organization, whatever. And they come in and they say, hey, we don't have a website. It would be just really amazing to have a website because, we have these self-generated websites. Maybe if you have your Grand Lodge system has Mori or whatever, but it's nothing substantive. Hey, can we put together a website? Oh, no, we can't do that. We looked into it once and it was just crazy. Like, they never tell you when they looked into it. You looked into it 30 years ago.
Right.
Like, my 8-year-old had to build a website for his class assignment. This is not something that, something that else that just drives me crazy is this idea of like, it's just barely good enough. Dancing around this kind of elephant of mediocrity. So there's a Masonic organization that I know of and I'm involved with that about 3 or 4 years ago, they said, oh, it's going to be so great. We got this grant and we bought all this great camera equipment. We're going to be able to film presentations. It's going to be amazing. All right, cool. Let me check this out. Let me just tell you, Juan, you're going to really love this. This was like a camera setup that I could have put together had I gone to Goodwill. Like, it was a over the shoulder, like, bam, holds like, maybe I think it like recorded to a VHS tape or something, or maybe like a mini DV and had like an out to go to something else, but like, it wasn't going to be high def. It's nothing. Like it's 20-year-old tech. And I just looked at this and went, okay, well, you guys have fun with that. I mean, there's this like obsession about like how old does something have to be? How accepted in general society does it have to be to like officially exist or to officially be something great that the fraternity can use? It's just like we don't want
to. We told you about George Washington.
Jeez,
have we told George Washington was a Mason?
It has to be something he actually used in Lodge.
Yeah, that's true.
Go ahead.
Five times that he went.
Yeah.
I have seen, I think of the California, Southern California research. Am I saying that right? I feel like I'm missing.
Yes. Southern California there. Research Lodge. Yep.
There you go. Yeah. They're doing amazing work. They're using technology the way that it is used today. There's nothing wrong with that. It is okay for you to have a TikTok account for your lodge. You know, it's like we have people jumping in the Facebook bandwagon now. It's like the ship sailed. Like you're 20 years late.
Mm-hmm. We didn't know if it would last.
Yeah, it's just like you said, it's just that growth mindset. And I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying throw caution to the wind and just let anybody do whatever. That's not what we say. But there are subject matter experts in every aspect. You have people that are technology experts in Lodge. Lean on them to produce the results that you want. You have people that are experts in marketing. You have people that are expert in you name it. Any branch of anything. You can have someone who is talented, skillful, who is knowledgeable, who can help your lodge to help the lodge come to the new era. And the sad thing is, like, you have some of these people stand up to try to make a difference, and then they get shut down. They get all the resistance you can imagine possible, and that's. It's discouraging. You have people with talent and skills in your lodge. Allow them to put those things to the service of the craft. Don't get in the way. Get out of the way. It's just, it seems like common sense to me, but it just happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, this is obviously something that the leadership really needs to start being aware of too. So if you're an officer of the lodge or even worshipful master of your lodge, and you're trying to push forward some agenda, right? We're not saying it needs to be completely progressive and you need to go with virtual degrees or whatever, virtual reality degrees, anything like that. We're just saying basic, you know, progression of making sure that whatever goal or change that you're trying to establish gets carried through. This is exactly what we're talking about, making sure that you separate those who have the fixed mindset and the growth mindset. So, I'll give you a real practical example. So what you really want to do in that situation is brass tacks. Here we go. If you know that there's this curmudgeon-y old past master who hates everything and hates life and hates what he had for dinner, like, you're going to pull that guy aside before lodge. And you're going to say, hey, you know, worshipful, we appreciate the leadership you've done for this lodge. This is what we're trying to do. One, do you have any thoughts or anything? I want to hear it from you personally before you bring it up in an open lodge. And also respect, this is, you know, I'm the worshipful master right now. And so we are probably going to take this direction. And, you know, I appreciate your support. And I mean, full disclosure, that is exactly a technique that I've used where I have had to pull some very vocal past masters aside and say, let me hear your side and I rule and govern. Any questions? And it actually ended up going smooth into the lodge. Sure, it's great to wear the hat, right? It's good to be king. But at the same time, if you're in line, if you are one of the officers of the lodge, it is your responsibility to also hold that leadership role, put the big boy pants on, put the big boy apron on, and really start to make sure that that you are encouraging growth mindsets and discouraging fixed mindsets. You already know who they are. Let's call for what it is. You know that brother's name who sits on the sideline every meeting. So we don't even need it. We don't need to go there. We all know it. You don't need to say his name out loud. We're all thinking it. So we're on the same page. But that's a practical thing that you can do right away. Oh, guess what? Spoiler alert, you don't even need to be an officer, right? We're supposed to whisper good counsel in each other's ears. Let's start today.
Sounds like a recipe for an elbow to the nose. it's a great point. You mentioned, like, you know who they are. And I have great respect and admiration for the brethren that came before me. I recognize that I have so much to learn from each and every one of them. And someone in the comments earlier mentioned, oh, this sounds like a generational issue. And for the most part, it ends up being a generational issue. But I've had very deep conversations with the old, you know, brothers from the old guard who are on board. They want to see the lodge progress. You just have a few people scattered about who are very vocal, like you mentioned. They'll steamroll you if you allow it. And in the spirit of harmony in the lodge, this is not okay. Go to battle with them. Like that's not what we're suggesting. We're suggesting that you, and I know we touched on this on a previous episode where you're almost a salesperson for what you're trying to present to the lodge. You have to come in with a pitch. You have to come in with all the objections already solved. You need to have all your ducks in a row if you're going to bring a proposal to the lodge. I've seen some really good proposals being shut down, like ad hoc. I've seen this happen in the middle of the meeting where I hear the suggestion. I'm super excited because they're bringing forward something that is going to either improve the quality of the meetings, improve the perceived value to the new members, and then you'll have someone just instantly spring up and shut it down. And because they do so with such confidence and such force, the other brothers either feel intimidated, they may not feel like they have the seniority to challenge that, and then they cower, and the same old folks end up winning. And again, it shouldn't be a battle, but you need to, what do they say, speak softly but carry a big stick.
I often wonder, like, where does the mindset of the fixed mindset come from? I think about it in terms of, in a sense, it's this idea of mediocrity, like a comfort zone where we've created a safe place for mediocrity. And we hide, and I want to speak gently here, but I'm just going to speak what I feel. I feel a lot of times, in particular for an officer of the lodge or somebody who would like to volunteer time for a lodge, how many times have you seen the guy who's ready to volunteer be the worker that carries everything while the officers don't? Yeah. We'll see officers who just move along and they're a feather in the wind, and the wind just has them currently on this path to the east. And I feel like that's pretty unfortunate. And I feel like many times we have a zealous brother willing to do the work. And these people who are in an officer line, the feathers in the wind, if you will, stand idly by and watch somebody get shut down by somebody else who's already been through the east, because the person who's floating through the air doesn't want the person who's already been through the east to stop their air travel to the east by saying, why don't we try that? There's this idea that this mediocrity that exists is like a comfort food. It's something we always return to. And like in the middle, so like in marketing, you've got like whatever the four or five P's and the five C's that surround it. But in the middle is like that target market. So think about that same thing. That
did you pass your test?
I did.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So that's the kind of what popped into my head right now, because I'm thinking about that the target reasoning, and we kind of pad it with these other things. And those other things are like, it's a volunteer organization, family first, like all of this stuff. Like, while that feels good and it's wrong, right? Like, to say it might even, maybe it's an absolute truth that family comes first, but maybe in this instance, that's just a subjective truth that we give ourselves, like, to feel better about the decision we've made not to get involved as much as maybe we should be, since we did volunteer to run an organization.
Yeah, it's the excuses we tell ourselves, right? When, you know, if you're trying to lose weight, but you're like, oh, you know, I deserve a piece of cake today. I had a good day at work today, so I deserve that, right? We all know what you're doing. And it just, we're emotional beings. And so I think to your point, however someone got to the fixed mindset, they will justify that negative behavior with very logical, very rational reasons. Well, you know, this guy is almost out of his year in the East, and maybe things will be better next year. Or, you know, just whatever excuse, I'm not even going to say reason, whatever excuse they come up with, you know, that's going to happen. And so, to your point, let's not get caught in that trap. Let's try to make sure that it really is getting us to our goal. And that's, I mean, been listening to a couple podcasts this week about, you know, goal hierarchies and the whole purpose of, like, having really clear goals. And because if you don't have a clear goal, then your discipline is just going to get you nowhere. Like, you can have really good discipline and no goals, and that just means you're spinning wheels. You're doing things, stuff and things, but you're not progressing to where you want to be. And so you can picture that as a lodge that still does the same fish fry every third Saturday in the summer that they've been doing for 40 years. And they love it, and it's well organized. It's the same five to ten guys that show up, and it goes off. It makes a couple bucks for the lodge. Everyone goes home happy and fed. But did it progress your lodge and the brotherhood and the brethren to the goals it's trying to get to, right? If you don't set clear goals, then you can do the same thing and get the same results, right? But you're not going to get to the better results that you want to aim for. You're on mute, Juan. Unmute yourself.
Man, I said the best stuff while I was on mute. Oh, what a shame. we have all these anecdotal experiences, and you can't discredit them. You have a brother, let's say, here in Florida. In my lodge, let's say a brother comes up from New Jersey, and he swears that corn boils are the best fundraisers ever because his first person experience tells him that is the best fundraiser. Well, maybe not here, right? So where do you find other alternatives? Well, Masonry is not the only organization out there that is raising funds for their goals and for their mission. So it seems like we at times operate in a vacuum where if it didn't happen in Masonry, it just has no validity within Freemasonry. And nothing could be further from the truth. You can have people like you and RJ, you came together, and I commend you for putting together your book, It's Business Time, where you actually show, here are some practices that happen in the business world that can be applied to Freemasonry without prostituting the craft, which is, you know, some people feel like if you're going to employ any kind of marketing technique or business technique, now you are sacrificing the organization. That's not true. That's an absurdity. We are placing higher value on empirical evidence rather than just anecdotal or feelings from people. Yeah. So I recommend here. We had in our chat in YouTube, Luminous, Luminous Knight, he said, rational leadership skills and emotional intelligence are rare these days. And he's asking, how can we get people to actually, that are in the line of officers, how can we get them to acquire some of these skills? Look without masonry. Look outside of masonry for whatever leadership skills you're looking for, and then do your very best to make sure that you bring them to the lodge and that you make a good case for doing so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, just go ahead, Jason, please.
I was going to say, I think part of this is the fact that not everybody should be an officer of their lodge.
What?
So would it be?
Not everybody should be master.
That was a casual one.
Yes. Can you add in the record scratch sound effect, Robert, to the post-processing of this?
Just... I mean, the fact of the matter is there are certain types of people who excel in leading an organization and driving an organization towards strategic goals. There are folks who like the idea of being in charge and telling people what to do. And if you know, you know, if you've ever studied anything like servant leadership, you realize that the true purpose of the master, yeah, while you rule and govern the lodge, the true purpose of the master is to, you know, remove the impediments from his workers and the brethren working in the quarries so that they can have the best Masonic experience that they can. And they can work toward, you know, masonry and the lodge as they want to. And I think that gets lost quite a bit, given that masonry is, you know, the epitome of a benevolent dictatorship at every single level. You know, you have absolute control at the lodge level. You have absolute control at the district level, absolute control at the Grand Lodge level. And given that there is so much power and so much relatively unchecked authority, you have to be very, very careful with the leadership you put into those positions. I mean, it's not everybody who wants to be a leader in masonry should.
Oh, yeah. Can I share something really funny, though? I was in a meeting at an undisclosed location, and the master of the lodge, I think he felt challenged by something, and he threw out I have spoken. and he meant it. I at first I chuckled because I thought it was just a funny reference to the Mandalorian show. And no, this guy really felt threatened.
He actually
ruffled up his feathers and said, I'm the master kind of deal. And I was like, well, okay, master, I'm sorry. So,
wow.
Yep.
Like at Acacia, one of the best masters I've known in masonry, who is actually the current sitting master through COVID, Scott Springer, is also, you know, deeply uncomfortable with leadership positions. Like, it's just not something by his own admission that comes easily to him. But he is that leader that, you know, I aspire to be, where he's so, so concerned about the welfare of his brethren, and just ego just doesn't factor into it. And that is the kind of leadership that would really turn the organization as a whole around if we had that at every level of lodge and Grand Lodge leadership.
Yeah. Hashtag emotional intelligence. Right. Exactly.
Hashtag viewfinder inactive.
We need to get you a new viewfinder. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I was just this idea of emotional intelligence is really interesting because, like, going back to like experience, we've said in the past when we talk about rules in terms of governing yourself and your emotions and these kinds of things, and in general. We talk about situational things that happen inside the lodge, outside the lodge. And when I think about this, I start thinking about this idea of like masonry stands for the good of society. And yet I think we all would agree that, masonry also in terms of like emotional intelligence doesn't allow the kind of discussion that would enable somebody to gain emotional intelligence or emotional maturity that perhaps the craft is really well designed to be able to do. And so what we get left with is like this individualized morality that people hold, or, you know, whatever their personal values. And we're not allowed to talk about any of that stuff to the betterment of, you know, society at large. So like masonry's mission kind of gets stifled because we really don't allow some of that stuff to take place, even though we could in a secular way, even though we could just being brothers and through fellowship, like it just kind of doesn't happen. And I think maybe if we did that, then we would foster the kind of growth that maybe men need in the fraternity, and we wouldn't be left with such a fixed mindset.
Yeah, I agree. And so this is another like practical thing that I want to help people if they're in the same kind of position. If you're getting lots of head nods as you're listening to this, and let's just say you're an officer of your lodge, there's a tool that is actually really helpful for this. And this was totally not scripted. It wasn't planned, because when Juan started using the metaphor of winds in your sails and anchors dragging you down, like there's an actual, no kidding, tool that companies use called the sailboat retrospective. And this is going to sound hokey at first, but roll with me here. This could be something that you actually do in your officers' meetings at least once during the year, maybe a couple times, maybe every quarter. The whole point, it's very easy to do. You could even do it over Zoom if you have some PowerPoint skills or something, right? The whole point is, imagine your lodge as a sailboat right there in the middle. Just draw a sailboat on a big piece of paper, stick it on the wall, whatever, or over Zoom. You can put it up in PowerPoint and share your screen. And then the goal is to have everyone contribute to one of four things. So you could think of sunshine, what makes the brothers happy, so they could start putting things around the top part of the screen. You could think about what are the winds, the things that propel us towards that goal. They could start putting sticky notes or text over top of the sails of the boat. Then you could have the anchors. What are the things that are slowing us down? If you can't give it a name, if you can't identify it, it makes it harder to deal with the elephant in the room. So put a name to it. And again, it's not comfortable. You could say that Juan is the anchor who's really holding us back. And maybe we're all thinking it just having someone put Juan on a post-it note and sticking it on the wall there and saying, oh crap, we really need to just have a one-on-one with him. Right. That's the whole point of this, is to get this out of our heads and onto, a wall if you're in person or some sort of virtual note-taking thing. And then finally, what are the rocks, glaciers, and pirates? What are the risks coming up that we need to be on the lookout for? So again, sunshine, what makes the brothers happy? What is the wind that's propelling us? What should we keep doing that's getting us to where we need to go? What are the anchors that are slowing us down? And then what are the rocks, pirates, and glaciers along the way we need to be careful of, we need to think of? And so this is a real simple tool. If you don't even need a facilitator to do this. You could just ask brothers to start filling out those four questions. It could be a really helpful thing to do a couple times during the year, so that you're really just doing a pulse check, right? It's no different than we wrote in the It's Business Time book, right? Here, check in with your brothers. Make sure it's good. Do a retrospective. If it's working, keep doing it. If it's not working, it's time to change. Better to change course, one degree at a time, than later on when you have to do a whole 90-degree turn.
That's a very, very good point. Thank you for sharing that exercise, because you know, even if you don't do it in the setting of a business, you can do this in your mind. You can see, okay, what are the things I'm dealing with right now?
Personal goals, yep. Even exactly your Masonic goals. You know, what's, if I want to get my gold card of memorizing the ritual, what's making me happy? What's getting me closer? What's dragging me down? And what do I need to look out for? It's that simple.
Yep. That's good. I love those kinds of mental exercises that seem simple in explanation, but like they can be so cathartic. It could be just that catalyst for you to completely change and do a 180 on your progress. So, you know, what we're hoping with this program is that, you know, brothers listening who are in a leadership position, think, be honest with yourself. Am I being a sail? Am I being an anchor in this process? Take a close look at your lodge. And I've said this before, you have access to so much capital within the lodge. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the intellectual capital that you
human
have.
Capital.
Mm-hmm. Human capital. So many skills, so many experiences. Tap into that. And it's so sad to see lodges that get bogged down in mediocrity because they have a few people that I call that loud minority. So you just have a couple of people that are super loud and obnoxious about things, and they're stifling any kind of progress from other people. Take a genuine look. Are you one of those people that is getting in the way of the craft getting from here to there? Or are you one of the people that are contributing to the lodge moving forward? And just be honest with yourself. Make the decisions that are necessary for you to do that. Now, with like fundraisers is an example that we've touched on. There's so many different ways to raise funds for a lodge. I know that Winter Garden Lodge, if I'm not mistaken, they do a haunted house during Halloween.
That's cool.
And they make a killing with it. They do great jobs. They do a great job at raising funds. Not just that, but raising awareness in the community. Like, hey, we're here. This is what we do. These are the guys that are here all the time. So it's like they say, they kill two birds or three birds with one stone. Think outside the box. What other things can your lodge do that is not the same thing that it's only going to drive or bring in the same kind of response from the community? Look, ask your lodge. Look outside of masonry. Again, I can't say that enough. Masonry is not the end-all be-all of what we do. We have so many different areas to look into. Just like in business, if you can, let's say you pick a career and you go in this career and all you read about is that career. Yeah, you may be an expert at it, but you're not broadening your horizons and seeing how other industries do things, how other regions are changing the game. I'm an artist by trade, and I couldn't tell you how much energy, inspiration, motivation I derive from going to the movie theaters. I go to the movie theater and it's like it just really fuels me. And when I come home, I don't make a painting about the movie that I watch. No, this fuels me in a completely different way. And we can do the same. Let's look outside of masonry for ideas that could be implemented in masonry without damaging the essence of it. And there's many examples. We can progress and build the masonry that we really want to live without necessarily sacrificing our history, without desecrating our traditions. We don't have to, you know, it's not an either or proposition. This is, we can have all of it, but we just need to get out of our own ways. Get out of the way.
So beautiful.
So, really, this leads to the next question, which is, when, if ever, should we encourage a fixed mindset? Right? We're all talking about being progressive and leaning forward and pushing to your goals, but there might be times, maybe, when a fixed mindset is beneficial. So when do you think we should encourage that? We'll start with Robert.
So, like, I'm going to approach this from just an angle that you see, like, okay, so if you ever read C.S. Lewis, he has a book called Mere Christianity.
Right.
And in it, he argues for an idea of, he kind of argues in a couple chapters about that there's no such thing as like individual morality. There is an absolute, like, morality that comes from somewhere. Maybe it's, you know, C.S. Lewis was a Christian, right? So he's arguing for a God who has, who is all good. And therefore, through this logical test, there must be absolute truths. And so while he talks about this idea that maybe there are cultures where each individual culture say, well, this is right in our culture. But then other cultures, like, it basically breaks down when you consider it, it becomes a circular argument, and he destroys this idea of a single, a cultural morality. He says, no, there really is morality that is for everybody. And so what's interesting about this is you can tie this back to this idea of a fixed mindset. And you might right off the bat think that I'm saying the fixed mindset is the, you know, the absolute truth. So the absolute truth, you know, it's wrong to, you know, kill whoever. These kinds of ideas. You think I'm maybe tying it back to the fixed mindset, but really I think that the fixed mindset is the opposite. It's that you're tribal in your tribal in your belief about what's morally right. And in that same vein, it's like tribal in your belief that this is the fixed way to do something. When in actuality, there are umbrellas. You know, there's a giant umbrella of ideas and concepts and creations and all of these things that can be universally applied to whatever you're doing. And so in this respect, I just think that it's probably only okay to apply these fixed mindsets when we're dealing with things that don't affect people in negative ways.
That's good.
And in that, right, is this idea of like, you have to be mindful of their subjective feelings. So that's the question for me, is like, what do we do with it? So, like, maybe the landmarks or something, right? Use a hot button issue. The other day in Texas Masonry, they had like the guy knocking on the door. Do you have a minute to talk about female Freemasons? So that's a, like, in that instance, you know, is that landmark barring females from practicing any kind of masonry at all and calling them regular? Is that a fixed mindset? And if it is, like, what makes that okay? What makes it not okay? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, this is good. So we'll keep this going to make this the final question, actually. So we'll hand it over to Juan for his thoughts too on the fixed mindset. When, if ever, should we encourage a fixed mindset?
Yeah, the first thing that came to mind when you asked the question is that there are a few things in masonry that I feel we should mess with. And this is my personal opinion. The degree, I don't think we should mess with it. I think the degrees are good as...
Tell that to Preston.
I think they're good as they are. And you can enhance the experience by making sure that it's well done, that people are prepared, by making sure that, well, if you have tethered costumes to maybe bring them, get them fixed. If you have someone in your lodge who is talented with, you know, props and things of that nature, well, they can help you make a more memorable experience by adorning the degrees with that. But changing the language, I personally have a problem with that. Oh, well, people have trouble saying thy countenance. Well, too bad. Just learn how to say thy countenance. There's no reason for us to change things like that. I feel that some of those things I have a fixed mentality on. What I have a growth mentality on is on the quality of the experience, on making sure that we're fulfilling that promise that we take good men and make them better, not just by putting them through the degrees, but by helping them connect the degrees to their real life. I think there's great value in that. I think that not everybody or not every lodge is capitalizing on that opportunity. It's a truly memorable experience to go through the degrees. Once that happens, you don't want anybody, not the candidate, not his relatives, to ever have the thought, well, how did he improve in masonry? That shouldn't be a question. Mm-hmm. It should be a given. So as I part ways, I say good evening to all. Thank you so much for supporting the Masonic Roundtable. Thank you so much to all our patrons. And I wanted to encourage you to, if you like podcasts that help men become better, check out the Gentleman's Brotherhood. A new episode comes out tomorrow morning. So cue that thing up in your podcast provider of choice. I think you're going to like this one.
Nice. Awesome. All right, Jason, over to you.
Two notes on where a fixed mindset might be useful. One is perhaps a bit more apparent than another. The first one is, you know, regarding any issues of legality. If there is someone who has a really good idea or wants to implement something that goes against the law, you know, that's where you really need to entertain that fixed mindset to guard the lodge and the fraternity as a whole, you know, against that reproach. And so, you know, being an admin of the Winding Stairs Freemasonry group and a number of others, you know, we get folks all the time who are from countries where Masonry is actually outlawed. They're like, oh, I'm from this country, I want to be a Mason, it's illegal here. And, you know, my response to that is, if it's illegal in the country within which you reside, don't become a Mason.
Right.
Unless you move to another country. And that's just because, you know, you're creating more problems for yourself and perhaps more problems for the fraternity as well, by circumventing the laws of your own country to join the fraternity. The other piece that I would say not to mess with is the initiatic experience of Freemasonry. And this is where I will agree slightly with Juan's interpretation of, you know, don't mess with the degrees. I'm not saying that from a structural or linguistic standpoint. I'm saying that from the initiatic experience of Freemasonry, where you are the candidate, you are going through the degrees one at a time and experiencing that great mystery for yourself. You know, I understand folks who do compressed degrees, compressed schedules, reunions, one-day conferrals, things of that nature. But to me, especially for Blue Lodge, it really makes you lose out on one of the foundational experiences of Masonry, which is being that candidate, being that archetype, literally walking in the shoes of, the archetype, within Freemasonry. I think that's really important. I think it's foundational to our experiences as Freemasons. That's one reason why I haven't joined the Scottish Rite, because, outside of Minnesota, there aren't any places that actually confer, all the Southern jurisdiction degrees that I've seen. So I don't want to
road trip
go through. I don't want to go through. Well, it's over the course of months and months. So it'd be like multiple road trips.
Lots of road trips.
Yeah. I don't want to, sit through, two or three degrees that are exemplified for me and then just, read the others. That to me, I feel like there's so much value in actually going through it yourself. So those are the two things where I would say, don't meet, keep a fixed mindset, because the fraternity and the fraternal experience will be better as a result of fixing your mindset and staying within the lines on those.
Sweet. Okay. So yeah, I just kind of want to echo that, but change just a little bit and say, basically, when should you ever encourage a fixed mindset? Ritual, 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 right? We want to keep the ritual as uninnovated, right? It's as consistent as possible. Because that's when you want someone who's a stickler for no, don't change anything. You want that behavior to be encouraged, right? You want the respect for those things that are inviolable, like the landmarks, like the ritual. Okay. Also, I'm going to say it. If something's working well for your lodge, again, keep doing it. And so, if there is a brother who does have a very successful fish fry and it does generate good revenue for the lodge and it does work year after year and he's always leading that committee, don't touch it. Just keep going, brother. Keep doing good work, right? Not everything needs to be innovated. And so, you want to encourage that to say, hey, if someone wants to tweak something, that's fine. But if someone's like, hey, I want to replace Brother Bob from running the fish fry, you could say, why don't you go under his wing for a couple of years and he'll show you the ropes and everything. But we're not ready to just, replace Bob yet, because it's actually working for the lodge. Everybody loves it. It's getting good revenue for the lodge. And it's just promoting the brotherhood in a great light. So that would be a perfect example of that. With the huge caveat, as always, that nothing lasts forever. Nothing is perfect forever. And so the best analogy I can think of right now is if you look at the automobile industry right now, you have large organizations that have been around for almost 100 years building cars, and they're doing a great job with that, right? That is a fixed mindset. We know how to build great cars. And then nobody traveled, and then fewer cars were bought, and then generationally the younger generation's taking more ride sharing. That's now, there's a reason to change. And so if you're not looking at what's next, while still doing the one thing you do well, keep doing that and look at what's next. Otherwise you're going to get disrupted, you're going to get your lunch eaten, and you just want to make sure that you're ready to move and grow when the opportunity exists. So obviously the best example would be to have both a fixed mindset on the things that are worth being firm about, and then a growth mindset for everything else. And so for that reason, I want to thank you all very much for watching. Keep having that great growth mindset and keep searching for more light. Have a good night.
Wow.